meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome to The Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coyce. Happy to be with you again. You know, and Tony, can you remind the audience what day that is?
I was just thinking it must be Wednesdays.
It's Wednesdays. Well, I'm so glad to be here on Wednesday to give Father Tony and the other hosts a little respite.
Rest, yeah.
Gives me a chance to bend your, no, not bend your mind. I don't bend minds.
No.
Wait a minute. I wrinkle brains.
Wrinkle. That's it.
Wrinkle brains. And we explore the many aspects of contemporary life and how our faith guides us, what our faith means in the everyday world, and who knows where we're going to go. Well, we are. I do know where we're going to go today in the second half of the show, or maybe even a little bit before that. But first, I got to explain to the audience, and not that this matters much to you, but I was going to have one guest on, and then it didn't work out. And so I found another guest.
Yes,
and
so
this is a great it's a great show. So we're gonna explore contemporary Christian music / Catholic music / oldies music
nice.
/ nerd music versus acid rock music.
I don't think I would say nerd music.
Okay, no, I wouldn't either. But
right.
We're going to get to that.
You'd be surprised. My little nieces and nephews, they love all some kinds of music, but
yeah.
They do like the older stuff.
They do like older
stuff.
Well, okay, then tell them to go to their radio. They don't want to miss this show.
They may be listening now.
They may. So, but first, let me do something because the first guest that I almost would have, I think she's been on The Winds of Change before, Vicky Thorne. That name may be familiar to people who are aware of the great challenge, which is the Right to Life movement, the great hope that is the Right to Life movement, the powerful wisdom and the battle that is the Right to Life movement, as it were. And so maybe I'll have on Vicky another day, but she couldn't make it today. I wanted to have her on today because she is going to be the keynote speaker at the Lake County, Illinois Right to Life Banquet this Friday.
Uh-huh.
Today's Wednesday. That means it's 2 days from now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, it's a beautiful thing. They're opening the door. It's free.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
It's the amazing but the way price that, right there.
It's an amazing thing. It's going to be free to come to, and then, of course, the free will offering will be taken up. And I don't know the details as far as food and all that, but I'll give you the information or where you can find all that. Can I read the press release about this great event coming up? So it goes like this. Vicky Thorne's work underscores that the abortion debate need not necessarily be centered on religion. Of course, it doesn't scare me that it is centered on religion, but I know there's a lot of people that don't involve themselves in it because they think if it's a religious issue, religion is relative, therefore there's nothing you can say or do about it. This is what Bonnie Quirk is the president of Lake County Right to Life. And so she goes on to say, so many critics of the pro-life position complain that abortion is just a religious issue. Vicky's work clearly points to the biological implications of abortion. Trying to be the objective scientist, even though I don't think scientists are any more objective than philosophers or theologians, but in the world today, scientists are considered to be objective, where religious and philosophers are considered to be subjective. Do I make myself ambiguous?
Yes.
Tony, you could say that. You could say.
Yep.
There.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
I was wondering what that guy was because he was reading my brain.
He's got to be here. You know, if my brain wrinkling man doesn't show up, then I feel I failed my...
Well, sometimes he's late. You know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
He's having coffee. Slack. He gets, you know...
He knows his brain is going to be wrinkled, so right. He's got to...
He prepares himself.
He's got to prepare himself, right. Like putting on seatbelts for your brain, I
right.
Assume. Okay, so opposition to ending the lives of preborn children through abortion, she says, goes beyond moral objections. There are solid physiological reasons to take a stand against abortion. Now, I'm going to stop it for a second and throw a little curveball back at her and say that to say that there are physiological reasons is not to say that you're putting yourself out of the moral discourse, because physiological reasons should be considered within a moral question or a moral debate. But that be that as it may. I know what she's trying to appeal to the people who automatically, right out of the box, from the get-go, say it's your opinion because it's a religious opinion. Why, Tony, before I keep reading, do you know what I'm saying? I have a hard time understanding why that is, but can you explain, why?
People just automatically close down, you know, when they think of it's religion, I don't know why.
Yeah. It's somewhat of a, I guess I can opine about it, but it's a mystery. I don't get it, but I know that it's there.
Sometimes, you know, when people just, they're just wordy and, you know, talking this, that, and the other thing, people just kind of tune out. They just hear that it salts them. It makes them angry.
Let me throw this opinion, so
opine.
To speak.
Please opine.
Can I opine just a little bit?
Yes,
because
you can.
I have a strong sense that it has a lot to do with feelings of guilt.
Maybe.
You know, when there is a sense of a little guilt that could grow into a bigger guilt, you know. And, of course, guilt itself is a sign of a conscience, of course. You know, people who have no conscience have no guilt. But when there's a little bit of a conscience, there's a little bit of a guilt. And it doesn't have to be, I had an abortion, or I know someone has an abortion. But there's other things that you can be guilty of. I did this, I did that, I didn't do this.
People don't want to be told. I don't want to be told what to do, you know, stuff like
that. Yeah. Being preached at is uncomfortable. And I have to say, too, not only am I a faithful Wednesday Winds of Change host, I'm also a faithful Winds of Change listener. And, Tony, I have to say that the show with Father Anthony the other day, where he was explaining and trying to talk about how people will criticize him, boy, I felt his pain.
if we only could call in, right?
Exactly. I wanted to hug Father Tony. Because that is, for those of me who may have missed that show, Father Tony was trying to explain how you don't mean to offend people, but when you're talking about the gospel, there's so many things that are uncomfortable. And the thing that I think hurt him the most is, which is what Yeah, that's it. That's the sad part. The thing that hurt him and that hurts me too is that when somebody says, well, you're chasing people away from church, you know, because we don't want to chase people away.
Have to tell the truth. You know? That's what I think. There's many people that I believe do not want to hear the truth.
Exactly. And they're not humble enough. The truth that starts with me.
Exactly.
The truth that starts with us and the truth that spills over into society.
But they're not humble enough to, you know, just sit and say, okay, well.
Humility.
You know, you got to be humble enough to say, well, maybe this doesn't apply to me, but I don't want to turn away. I want to continue.
Yeah.
And then you might find that it does kind of apply to you. It applies to all of us.
So that's some of the reason behind what Vicky Thorne is trying to address. She knows that people will just right out the box dismiss it. So she's coming up with another angle that says, okay, I'm not going to throw any Bible quotes at you. I'm not going to throw any God at you. Let's just talk about what happens scientifically, physiologically. So let me go on to a little bit more of the press release here. Thorne is an adjunct assistant professor of psychology at the St. John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and Family Life at my alma mater, Catholic University of America. Her work on the biology of bonding and attraction is informing the dialogue about sexuality and abortion. It makes me want to sit in one of her classes, doesn't it? You know, the physiology, the biology of attraction. there's a lot we can go into with that, you know. Look at that.
It's fascinating, though.
She's attractive. He's attractive, you know. For a lot of people, they don't want to hear the biology. I don't know. We don't think about it that way. But there is obviously attraction is something that affects us all. And it leads to our life and our lifestyles and our principles and our philosophy and our theology and our economics and all these other things are all tied together. So I'm glad. So anyways, she has studied the research about the chemical and cellular complexities that transpire when a woman becomes pregnant. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Vicky Thorne explains how every woman carries in her body the cells of every child that has been conceived in her womb.
Wow,
interesting. Yeah, if you're a mother of five or six or seven, as my mother, or you have those cells in you. This phenomenon is known as microchimerism.
Hmm.
Wow, didn't know there was a word for that, but thank you. Microchimerism. It almost seems the Spanish word for there's a mythical figure or chimera. Chimera, isn't that like a ghost or a?
That
we need. Where's Christine when we need her?
Christine.
Okay. Studies have shown that during an abortion, more cells from the baby transfer to the mother than during a full-term pregnancy and delivery.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. So as you give up the baby or you get rid of the baby in abortion, the baby stays with you the more. Isn't that fascinating? This is one organic reason that a woman will have a hard time forgetting an abortion. She literally carries cells from that child inside her body for the rest of her life. The fact that the matter is there are still footprints of her body from her baby. Each subsequent child she conceives will also carry the cells of that child aborted, especially if that child is aborted. The implications of this biological transfer can have a tremendous psychological effect on women who have had abortions, as well as their future offspring. Vicky has worked with post-abortive women for decades and has seen many biological, psychological, and spiritual manifestations of the unnatural loss of a child. So here's the little info for those who live, especially up on the north side up there in Lake County. Lake County Right to Life was loosely formed in 1973 within months of the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Got him twice.
There you are. He's going to be around. And can I add a personal note? My uncle, who was a priest who passed away, was part of the founding, was one of the first chaplains of the Lake County Right to Life. God bless him. He was a wonderful priest, Father Raymond Scriba. Okay, and so she goes on. The organization actively works to inform and educate those in Lake County and beyond about the innate value of human life and the damage caused by abortion and euthanasia. Lake County Right to Life supports and assists women and families in choosing life for their preborn children, even in difficult situations. For more information, you can look at, of course, their website, lcrtl.org, Lake County Right to Life, lcrtl.org. There is hope after abortion, and Vicki Thorne says she can prove it. Founder of Project Rachel and executive director of the National Office of Post-Abortive Reconciliation and Healing, Thorne is the keynote speaker at Lake County Right to Life's benefit banquet this Friday, July 28th at 6 p.m. at the Doubletree Hotel in Mundelein, Illinois. Vice President Mike Pence recently praised Project Rachel and its work in healing those affected by abortion. Thorne's presentation, What We Didn't Know, Understanding Our Biology and Wounds, will address the biology of attachment, abortion aftermath, and sociological changes that leave people vulnerable. The event is free, but a financial appeal will be made. Reservations are required. So do go on to lcrtl.org and make a reservation, everyone. God bless you. We're going to take a little break here now, and then we're going to get to music, one of my other favorite topics. And we have a wonderful guest waiting for us, and I can't wait to introduce this guy. I met him not too long ago, and I've quickly become a great fan of a guy by the name of Will Kruger. I'm going to introduce you to him right after we get back. But first, let's take a quick break. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to Listener Supported, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you've been on a picnic? Winds of Change is inviting you to St. Stan's Community Picnic on Sunday, August 20th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. What is a picnic without food? Ethnic plates include Hispanic, Polish, and Asian for only $6 a plate, and a $3 kids hot dog plate. And what's a picnic without kids games, music, bouncy house, and of course, great food? Bring the kids, bring the family, bring your lawn chairs and sunglasses, and an appetite for great food. St. Stan's Community Picnic, Sunday, August 20th, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on the St. Stan's Church grounds, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Here we are sitting in the middle of the prairie at Annunciation Parish in beautiful Homer Glen, Illinois. And with me is Father Tom Loya. Father Tom, please tell us about Prairie Fest.
This is the 10th anniversary of Prairie Fest, which is a festival for the entire family where you'll enjoy music, a grand cash raffle with $12,000 in total prizes, a beer garden, animal shows, juggling, wine art, bake sale, and more.
Prairie Fest kicks off Friday, August 11th at 5 p.m. with music by Evolution Project, Piano Man, and Abba Salute. Then, on Saturday, August 12th at noon, is Family Day with kids' games, animal shows, juggling, and more. At 4 p.m., the music kicks off on Family Day. Then at 7, the Nick Lynch Band. Sunday, August 12th, starting at 11 a.m., prepare to polka with the Polka Generations Band.
While you're enjoying all of this music, food, and fun, take a guided tour of this beautiful prairie and experience the church's breathtaking interior during the Annunciation Parish Church Tours.
Only a $5 cover for those 18 and over for Prairie Fest on Friday and Saturday with free admission on Sunday. On-premises parking, just $5.
For early registration discount for the Wine Arts Studio and event schedule, visit ByzantineCatholic.com. That's ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 11th through the 13th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for being with you. Father Tom Coyce here with Tony, as is our custom on Wednesday. I'm trying to wrinkle your brain, and I'm going to try to tickle your brain. You know, philosophy wrinkles your brain, but music tickles your brain. So I have on the line here a wonderful new friend of mine, a guy by the name of Will Krueger. And can you say hello to everyone out there in Winds of Change Radio Land?
Hi, Father Tom. How are you?
Oh, boy. It's a little like you're in a can or something over there.
Oh, is that any better?
That's better. Yeah, we can hear you. And I think everyone...
Hold on a second. How is that?
That's better.
It's a little better.
That's better.
Okay, yeah, I had my headphones on.
Right.
So...
there's all this technical stuff that goes up behind. I marvel at Nick. Nick, I look at you through the window over here, and I just marvel, okay? I just want you to know how much I marvel. And I marvel at this guest that we have on today because I'm going to tell the audience where I met you. at my 60th birthday party.
No way, 60.
Oh, Lord, life goes by too fast. And my lovely and talented sister, Mary Lou, she may be listening, Will, so be careful what we say about
okay.
it. You know, she discovered you at some joint somewhere singing along, and she said, "My brother will like this guy singing." And so we had you at a little birthday party, and you blew my socks off, and...
I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun, and you have a lot of people that love you.
Yeah, and it costs a lot of money to pay them to say that, too, you know. You don't realize. Oh, boy, it was a fun night. But I had one great regret. Here this great, talented musician was singing a lot of my favorite songs. My sister, Mary Lou, must have heard you sing some John Denver songs. Because she knows he's one of my heroes, and maybe we could talk a little bit because you know him pretty well too, and you know his music,
yeah.
Probably better than I do, you know. But there's very few songs I don't know. Anyways, she said, okay, you were singing a number of songs, but the party was so rocking that a lot of people weren't listening.
No way.
You know, that happens a lot when I sing, so that's nothing new.
Yeah, one of the things you got to pay in your line of your career as it is, you know.
Well, but, you know, when that happens, one of the things you do is you go, there's always a few people that are listening, and those are the ones that you sing to. So, it depends on the type of environment. I mean, you had a lot of friends there that probably hadn't seen each other for a long time and were getting reacquainted.
Exactly.
So it was perfectly understandable.
Well, the long and the short of it is I said to Mary Lou, I said, we got to have this guy do a concert so we can just listen and maybe we can make it into a fundraiser. And I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
Always thinking about keeping our church afloat. So what we're doing, and people out there in Radio Land, especially if you're on the southwest side, many people may know that I'm from St. James Church in Lamont, in the southwest corner of the Chicago area, and Will Krueger is going to be doing an oldies kind of concert at Cog Hill Golf Course, a very beautiful place.
Yes.
Not only to golf, but they have a beautiful hall there for banquets, and obviously... they do weddings there most of and so on Sunday, August 20th, it's right around the corner, Will. I can't believe it. We've been talking about it for a while. Sunday,
yeah.
August 20th at 5:30 p.m. at Cog Hill Golf Course. Tickets only $20.
It's not bad.
It's a deal at twice the... How do you say that? But anyways, you can get those tickets at our website.
You could say tickets are cheap.
Tickets are dirt cheap. Well, $20. That's what we're trying to raise. And teens, yeah, this is what I got to get. Teens are going to be free if they come and help us with the raffle that we'll have on.
There
okay, so there's the business side. So anyways, I want to share with our audience some of your music and a little. Let's have a little dialogue about what music means, especially as it relates to our faith in God, how it touches our hearts and our souls. And I also want to talk about one of the themes of the concert is going to be a bridging the generation gap. You know, we talked a little bit about that. Let's see. Can you tell? Let's start with you're an soon-to-be very famous author. That's all. Well, you're famous
already. Well, I don't know about that. That would be nice, but
well, leave it to me.
I do love writing. I do love writing songs and expressing some thoughts that I had in a musical way, because music always communicated to me in that that way, and that is the joy of music, because it bridges so many gaps with people of different political beliefs or religious beliefs. Music is, it can be a connector with all of that.
Yeah, I'd like to share. The reason I said you're soon to be famous is because there's a movie coming out by the name of God, Where Are You? And there's a trailer. You can see the trailer. Just Google God, Where Are You? And when you watch the trailer, you're going to hear this very powerful song. On the radio, we're not going to be able to see the video, of course. I really encourage people to look on the YouTube to see, because it's a powerful, it's a sad, kind of gut-wrenching thing. And why don't we listen to at least the first minute or minute and a half or 2 minutes of God, Where Are You? And then, Will, you can talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
This is how it starts. There's a young girl walking along, kind of sad looking.
Well, my plans, they put me somewhere else. Somewhere I didn't really want to be. I cried for help into the night. I'm still alone in the morning light. Seems I'm always on my own. Looking around, I find no hope. The world seems so empty to me. So much harder to believe. I look for you to find my way. Where are you? Where are you? I cry for you, always in pain. Where are you? God, where are you? The cold, cold silence of this place. Search around looking for grace. I lift my hand and no one's there. God, show me that you care. I look for you to find my way. Where are you? Where are you? Cry for you, always in pain. God, where are you? God, where are you? I really...
Hey,
oh, that was good.
Isn't that beautiful? It's not the there's a couple minute or two left. Will, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Father Tom.
Yeah, do you want to explain what the... The movie is, encourage and a little bit about
that
song.
I was on Facebook, and there's a Christian music site that was looking for music for an upcoming movie, and the producer-director was a guy by the name of Dee Miller. And I had submitted some of my other faith-based songs, and Dee went on, and he ended up finding some other stuff, because I have a lot of my music up online on YouTube, et cetera. And he ended up choosing a couple songs, and then he had asked me that he had written some lyrics and was wondering if I would do a co-write with him. And he had a specific sound and a certain amount of time, because he had this scene in the movie that he had already put another song. And so when him and I were discussing how the song should sound, he kind of wanted it to fit in that vein. And it was an interesting process of songwriting. Sometimes songwriting, you have a melody and then you try to attach lyrics in a comprehensive way.
Right.
But with this one, I had a specific idea, and so we would go back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. And when I finally, for the first time, saw that song laid in that timeline with the movie, because he sent me the scene, it just knocked my socks off. It was pretty cool, I must say.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the audience. The movie is about a fighter, a boxer.
Well, yeah, the main character is a gentleman called Sonny Boone, and Sonny Boone is a heavyweight champion, and he's got one last bout.
It's a true story, right?
What's that?
Isn't it a true story?
I don't believe so. I don't think so.
Okay.
But Dee Miller he wrote the script and wrote the story, and Sonny has one last bout so he can retire and live the good life, and he ends up killing his opponent. And from that, the Boxing Commission stripped him of his license, and the family of the boxer ended up suing him for everything he had, and he ends up being a bum on the street. And he's basically picking through some garbage by this diner, and this gentleman comes out, and he asks him to come in, and they sit down and they talk. And Sonny is wondering, why did God do this to me? Where did he go? You know,
God,
and
where
so
are
the
you?
Whole the movie is basically on that storyline. So it was pretty interesting. Great story.
Yeah, just the trailer was very captivating. I can't wait to see the whole thing. Do we know when it's coming out, actually? Or
no, you know, the last I had heard from Dee, he's looking for a distributor, because this is an independent film company called Lazarus Filmworks, and I don't know that process, but I know he's shopping around for a good distributor. I mean, there's Christian-based film distributors,
yeah,
like Pure Flix, and of course the, the Kagan brothers, I think, do a couple of films. So I don't know how that process works, but that's where it's sitting right now.
It's kind of in the genre of God's Not Dead. At least that's how I think a lot of our listeners probably have seen God's Not Dead. There's God's Not Dead 1 and God's Not Dead 2.
Yes.
And
he's not either. And God isn't dead, right?
Well, if you got to watch the movie to find out.
We know he's not dead.
We know he's not dead. I as a Catholic priest, when watching God's Not Dead, was intrigued, and it's kind of fun, and it's a little bit, I don't know if you could relate to this, how seeing the Protestant ministers in operation. It is God's Not Dead 1 and 2, and I'm kind of thinking that, God, where are you? If there are any ministers, it might be a Protestant minister as opposed to a Catholic priest. But when I watch it, and I, especially both God's Not Dead 1 and God's Not Dead 2, it made me snicker and smile, because here are two Protestants putting their life on the line. In the first instance, it was a college freshman who's ready to lose everything, meaning lose his girlfriend, lose his good grade, the inability to get a great paying job, so to speak. He's putting it all on the line because he's debating a philosophy teacher who is saying that God's dead, and the student is going to prove that God is not dead. And then I like the second one too, because the second one is a teacher, a high school teacher, who happens to make reference to Jesus as a nonviolent leader, and says, turn the other cheek, and she gets sued by someone who didn't like hearing their name Jesus. I'm just telling the story for our listeners if they didn't see those two movies. And it, but I snickered because here, one of the foundational principles of Protestantism is works. Works. Faith alone gains you salvation, and there are no works that apply to salvation. Faith is only a salvation is only a matter of faith. But here's two people that are doing something. They are willing to be a martyr. They are suffering. Yep. They're laying it all on the line, and that is what us Catholics mean by our works, so to speak. We're putting our feet where our mouth is, or we're willing to suffer for what we believe, and that captures very well. And I, at the end of the movie, I thought, oh my gosh, this sort of blows faith justification by faith alone out of the ocean or out of the water. If you funny have eyes to see, if you have ears to hear. That's one of the lines in the gospel today at Mass. Anyways, let's move on.
Bob, show's over. Nothing to see here. Show's over. Oh my God, a horrible plane crash. Hey, everybody, get a load of this flaming wreckage.
Simpsons.
Will, you just got to realize that some people pop into our radio show
right
here, and
is that Nick?
No, that was Officer Wiggums.
It's Officer Wiggums.
Oh, okay.
Officer Wiggums. I'm surprised.
Very good.
Okay, Nick, he wants us to take us a break, and we're gonna. I want to share a couple of your other songs, and I want to get into that theme of generation gap and how music can help us. And the more generations are together, the better faith is lived. I'm Father Tom Coy, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
How long has it been since you've been on a picnic? Winds of Change is inviting you to St. Stan's Community Picnic on Sunday, August 20th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. What is a picnic without food? Ethnic plates include Hispanic, Polish, and Asian for only $6 a plate, and a $3 kids hot dog plate. And what's a picnic without kids games, music, bouncy house, and of course great food? Bring the kids, bring the family, bring your lawn chairs and sunglasses, and an appetite for great food. St. Stan's Community Picnic, Sunday, August 20th from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on the St. Stan's Church grounds, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in to Winds of Change. Father Tom Coy's here, and I have with us a man by the name of Will Krueger, soon to be famous, Mr. Krueger.
Hi, Father Tom.
Indeed. Your music does touch people's hearts and souls, and I'm going to share a couple of your new stuff. But before we do that, because the reason I'm having you on is because I'm trying to plug a concert that I'm having out in the Southwest Side in Lamont, Illinois, on Sunday, August 20th, in the evening, Sunday, August 20th at 5:30 at Cog Hill Golf Course, a very beautiful location. And Will is going to do kind of an oldies type. I'm going to throw this out because this is what I saw on your website, too. You're the sing-along master.
Sing-along.
Oh, yes.
Sing-along.
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of the music I will be sharing with everybody is the music that I grew up with that inspired me, and that was the singer-songwriter era. And that includes people, of course, James Taylor, Gordon Lightfoot, Paul Simon, and John Denver.
Wow.
And those songwriters not only took wonderful, wonderful lyrics, but weave them in some wonderful melodies. And it was a very honest type of music because a lot of it was just the guitar and the voice.
Right.
And that always appealed to me. And I find, I love to do my own stuff, but I love sharing those those kinds of songs from those songwriters to people that can relate to that time in their life, because those songs mean very, there's very special meaning with those songs to those people. And really looking forward to sharing those with everybody.
Yeah, because then people start singing along. Now, Tony, do you like to sing along?
Oh, yeah,
are you a sing along kind of guy?
I'm thinking Johnny Cash.
Right, I love to get the audience involved in it. It's, you know, the concerts I try to do, I try to make them an intimate thing and just convey to them the joy of the music. I enjoy it, and you know, hopefully people will enjoy it as well.
Okay, well, then you got to help me here with something very important, because I got to explain to the radio audience and the trouble I've had with this concert. For people who don't know you from Adam, you know, whatever. But as soon as I said some John Denver, Simon and Garfunkel, Gordon Lightfoot type songs, a lot of my mother said, "Father, it'll never fly. We're doing this for the youth group. We want to raise money for the teen club and the youth group. Those are not their songs. Kids are not," and even the moms, or some of the moms, "I don't like Simon and Garfunkel and John Denver. I, you know, if you gave my favorite singer, you know, I'll be there." But there's so few people that like Simon and Garfunkel and John Denver. And I'm saying, they were my heroes. I really enjoyed those songs. And here's my twist, is it helped me prepare for the Christian life. You know why? Because when I heard a John Denver or Simon and Garfunkel song on the radio, and I was in a car or at work, I worked at a Jewel food store, and we were always stocking shelves late at night, and we turned the radio up loud, and there'd be Led Zeppelin, and there'd be Black Sabbath, and there'd be all the heavy rock and roll, and then John Denver song would come on, you know, any song. "You fill up my senses."
Without John Denver, you would never have those other ones.
Well,
and people, my coworkers and my friends would turn to me and say, "This is the nerd song." And I thought, I don't care what you call it. I like this song, and it prepared me for the Christian walk.
It's funny you should. It's funny you should mention that, because when I was growing up, I was into Peter, Paul, and Mary, and you know, all my friends were into the Rolling Stones, and then I was into John Denver, and then my friends were into Led Zeppelin, and I just, you know, I just was always drawn to melody and good lyrics, and that's what these songwriters conveyed.
And I'll say, especially John Denver had a way of looking at nature in such a beautiful way. He lifted it up. And I'll say today, we need a rediscovery of the sacredness of nature. The whole spirit of natural law has disappeared in our society to determine what's right and wrong, especially in the right to life and marriage issues today. Nature is no longer something, nature is no longer thought of or perceived as a fingerprint of God. But as I listen to John Denver, I think he had that sense of the Rocky Mountain.
Well, if I might add, Father Tom, you know, this was in the early 70s, America was split apart with the Vietnam War, and then along came this gentleman with these wire rimmed glasses and the long blonde hair that had this wonderful, wonderful voice, and he was singing about things that uplifted people. I mean, who else at the time was singing songs about his wife?
Right.
Nobody did that.
Right, and "Sunshine on My Shoulders." There's hardly a more simple thought than "Sunshine on Your Shoulder makes you happy," but it did, and it does. I want the young people. So here's the problem, and can you help me and convince my moms and my teenagers that getting into some of these songs is, they shouldn't be afraid.
Well, no, I think if they're not familiar with with those songs, and they just, you know, a lot of times people will be, but as I had stated before, a lot of those songs bring back wonderful memories from our youth.
Right.
The songs are honest, and the songs, at least the ones that I try to choose, are songs about relationships with one another, songs about love, and in that there's always this spiritualness mm-hmm. that are in these songs, mm-hmm. and I try to sing music to uplift people, to make them think, and to entertain them and have them have a good time. So, you know, I would just say, come on out. I'm going to have a great time. And from the other concerts that I've done with this kind of music, it's always gotten a really, really great response.
Yeah. I want to appeal to the teenagers to come in this way. I want the teenagers to think how much their parents bend over backwards to enter into their world, as it were. Every time a teenager is on a sports, the mom and dad want to participate in the child's sports life. If a child is in a play, the mom or dad will buy the first ticket to the play. Their parents over and over again bend over backwards to get insight into their children's lives. I want the younger teenagers to take this concert as an opportunity to do something that may not come natural to them, that may not be easy for them, but go to this concert to gain access into your parents' lives. This is part of what formed us. If you want to get to know your parents, then get to know their songs.
That's a good way of
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because yeah. I could say that to the parents. I try to listen to young people's songs, and I have to admit that they don't always float my boat, but some of them do. And especially our youth group, I have learned so many wonderful contemporary, especially Christian songs from some of my teenagers who are musical. Brooklyn Skrzyna, if you're out there, you know who I'm talking about. Sometimes she listens. And she taught me a lot of new, wonderful songs. And not only contemporary Christian songs, but the ones that are in our Catholic churches, there's Catholic music writers as well. And then also, I learned Wagon Wheel.
Yeah.
Do you know Wagon Wheel?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some people know it, some people don't. But that had become a kind of a theme song for our youth group. And rock me gently like a rockin' wheel. Because it's a sing-along song. Mm-hmm. I said, that's a sing-along song. I will learn that song because it's a sing-along song. So anyways, hey, we're running through time here. Nick, could we, I'd like to share with our radio audience another one of Will's songs. Sing Your Symphony Well. Can we play that one? And then Will explain a little bit about what this song is all about.
Lift a voice to all who will hear. Sing it loud and sing it clear. Make some friends and draw them near. In the melody, in the harmony, in the music we love to sing so well. So sing of sympathy, sing of empathy, and sing your symphony well. Silence rules from the depths within. Shadows cast from where you've been. Patterns last, but they must bend. In the melody, in the harmony, in the music we love to sing so well. So sing of sympathy, sing of empathy, and sing your symphony well. In a world that's cold and torn, lessons taught but never learned, but there is hope and you were born. In the melody, in the harmony, in the music we love to sing so well. So sing of sympathy,
sing of empathy and sing your symphony well.
There we go.
That's awesome.
You're going to have to purchase it on YouTube or on iTunes to get the whole thing.
I got to tell you, that's a brand new song, and I don't think I've got it available quite yet, but it will be. I've had two CDs that I put out, and I'm starting to write stuff for the next CD. But that particular song, I was trying to communicate what music does for us, both as someone that plays it in front of people and tries to connect with them, draw them in, I say, in the music and the melody, and in those of us that enjoy listening to music and what music and lyrics do to our souls, you know, makes us feel. Mm-hmm. And that I remember when I wrote that, there's a line towards the end of the song, it's hard to remember. I said silver hair and smiling face, and I kind of put a line in about my wife. And, I've written a lot of songs to my bride. Now we're, married 42 years now, and just the love of my life and my best friend. Mm. And she goes, "Oh, you wrote another song for me." And I go, "No, I don't think so." Because there's other lyrics in there talking about, as I had mentioned earlier, about what music does. And then after I went down and I listened to it, I go, "Yeah, it is kind of to you." So I thought that was kind of funny.
Indeed, indeed. Tony, you're the outsider. Well, not outsider. What did you think?
I love this. I mean, I like the idea of going back to that kind of songwriting. I mean, I love John Denver. I mean, I don't listen to it as much as I did, but if I might add, $20 is too low for this.
It's a steal at twice the price.
Yeah.
We want to pack the hall for Will Krueger. Indeed. Remember that, my friends, August 20th. You can go online. You can pay with a credit card and get tickets online at our website, historicstjames.com, and you go to the little Give Central where most people you can give a donation to the church, but
within
that box.
We can buy it at the door too, right?
And you can buy it at the door, yeah. So, but let me go with a little bit of time we have left here, and maybe we'll be able to get to that another song that we brought along. But I want to again touch this topic of the generation gap. You know, parents obviously want to love their children. Children want to love their parents, and I guess I was hit. In a sad way by the resistance that I had to this idea, because so many people were saying, "Father, it's not going to work, you know, nobody's going to show up." And I'm thinking, if you like that genre, you will show up, and you should. I almost feel like you should like that. I distrust people who don't like that genre, the oldies. And then I think, there are. Tony, you said it while we were on break, is that some of your nieces and nephews.
My nieces and nephews. And I was leading into that. I think anybody that loves music cannot not listen to this. I mean, I consider myself, I'm very open-minded, and I listen to all kinds of music. And to think about this is the beginnings and just the whole concept of, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, that's good music. And my nieces and nephews listen to everything.
Yeah.
They really do. They like stuff like this. Sound of Silence, I think of. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. I played it last Sunday at my Mass. Sometimes if you ever come to St. James and you listen to Father Coyce preach, you'll never know what you're going to hear. I played the song from The Crystals for beautiful black women from the 60s, and they sang, "And Then He Kissed Me."
I remember. Then He Kissed Me.
And
know
then
that
he
song.
Kissed me. And I played it because
covers of that.
It's a beautiful story of how you're an innocent young girl. You're not sure if you want to date this guy. You take a chance. It's at the dance. And then he takes me home to meet his mom and his dad. And I'm thinking, how precious is that? What teenager really cares what their mom or dad thinks about their boyfriend or not? And whoa. then he asked me to be his bride.
Brain, man.
And I shared it with the congregation because this is God's plan, anti-poverty plan. If you want to avoid poverty, you four things. You graduate high school, you get married, then you have your baby in that order, and you go to church together.
Oh.
Those four things put together are almost a guarantee to avoid poverty. And so that's why my congregation got the crystals. So, but isn't that true that these music is very powerful in a positive way? And I think we could blame a lot of the negativity on some of our music. As I traced the oldies throughout the years, I saw on the computer how the earlier singers, the oldies, they sang in suit, coat, and tie.
Yep.
And the black women that were singing, like the Crystals and the Diana Ross and the Supremes, they had hairstyles that were not unique to the black community. They were enculturated, I guess you could say. And but then they pushed the envelope. You had a little longer hair. You lose the tie. Then you lose the collar shirt. Then you lose the shirt. And now we got Madonna and people singing with hardly anything at all.
Right.
And we've just put, especially in the music industry, there is that pressure to break the mold of the ones, but you got to stand out. So when you got to stand out, you got to draw attention. And obviously you can draw attention by some of these things and not necessarily the beautiful words or the melody that you come up with. Does that make any sense, Will?
Oh, absolutely. I think the big word in the term music business is the word business. And, each generation has its particular type of music. I just happen to think that ours was the best, Father Tom. I mean, we had melody, we had great lyrics, and it's a different time now. But I do feel that a lot of this generation, once they're exposed to this kind of music, because they don't really hear this commercially, once they're exposed to it, they can enjoy it for what it is. And I've often gotten, in fact, that last song that we sang, there's a young lady that sings with me on that. She's 18 years old. Wonderful, wonderful, very talented young lady called Mackenzie O'Brien. And she relates to that music. And she's kind of carrying the torch for the, quote, folk music or that acoustic music.
Yeah.
And she's becoming a wonderful singer-songwriter in her own right and is becoming quite popular. So when her and I sit and we discuss this kind of music, she can relate to it very well.
Oh, how about that? And you're going to, I told you the other day, you're going to meet one of the gals that sings by me, another Irish-sounding, Michaela Walsh and her sisters. They're beautiful girls and beautiful voices. And so those of you out from the Lamont area, you might know the Walsh sisters. They sing, she sings over at the Irish the Gaelic Park, which is a very popular Irish haunt, stomping ground for a lot of the Irish people on the south side. Everybody knows Gaelic Park. So anyways, I'm looking forward to August 20th, Sunday, August 20th. Please visit our website or call St. James Church and get your tickets for Will Kruger, Oldies Tribute Show to John Denver and Simon and Garfunkel and others. I'm Father Tom Coyce. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred.
the time is now.